preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers. than him to die. I scarce can take it in. On the cross, my burdens gladly buried. He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to shall come, will shout the acclamation, take me home. Oh, my joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration. And they're proclaiming, oh my God, have reigned now. And sing my soul, my Savior God, through thee.
Father, we worship you this morning. We praise the name of Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior, God manifested in the flesh, Emmanuel. We lift up your name, great and mighty God. We praise you today. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the only one worthy of praise. You died on that cross, a sinless, spotless sacrifice. You rose from the dead. You paid for our sins. You only ask that we believe and that we turn from our sins and become disciples, that we take up our cross and follow you. Lord, I thank you there is the hope of eternal life, that there is hope beyond this life. God, as the Apostle Paul said, if we had hope in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. Thank you, Lord, for hope. Thank you for your love and your presence, even that we get to feel and experience in this world. We thank you, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you just move in this place. Touch every person. Touch every person listening. Touch every person watching this morning. Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I'm the Lord thy God, and I say to you this day, I hear the praises of my people. I hear the praises of my people who truly love me, and for that I will show mercy. For that I will give the gifts that I have. I will give you the power of the Holy Spirit. I will save you, and I will bring you unto my kingdom. Thus saith the Lord.
And the Lord would say, my hand is upon you. My hand has carried you. My hand has strengthened you. But you must be cautious. You must be diligent to strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect. Seek me Seek me with all of your heart, says the Lord, and I will be found of you. And I will move in power, and I will do great and mighty things, which you know not, which you have never seen. I will bring many lost souls to me in these last days, saith the Lord. Praise be to your name. Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything? They feel like the Lord spoke to them this morning. Nothing? Anybody? Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church here in Opelika, Alabama. Welcome those of you listening by Blog Talk Radio. We listen. Welcome those listening and watching by Periscope this morning. It's amazing. Periscope, we just started recently using Periscope. And I think it was Thursday night when we did the radio show and we did the live broadcast. We had 61 viewers during the show, which is amazing. One night we had 81 viewers. So I think it's starting to grow. People are starting to get used to us using that method. I apologize for the issues we had Thursday night doing filming here and doing the show here. We still have some issues to work out with all the technical stuff and changing locations, but we want to welcome everyone. I want to let everyone here know that after church today, we're going to be having a church fellowship at the Taylor's house. Everyone knows you're supposed to kind of bring your own food. We're going to supply the drinks, but we're going to eat lunch together and fellowship, and I'm sure throw the football a little bit and do some things like that. So what's that? And volleyball. Going to play some, the epic yearly volleyball match. Hopefully we can get through it without these old people having injuries this time around. All right. This morning, I'd been talking to Kevin a little while about preaching, if the Lord gave him anything, and I think last Sunday the Lord really dropped something in his heart. So Pastor Kevin Wilkinson is going to share a message this morning. And listen, brother, you are under no pressure to make it an hour and a half or 2 hours. I don't care if it's that long, but you're under no pressure. You know, it's not the length of the message. It's the main points of it. So I do know if he's, are you going to that verse in Samuel you showed me? That verse, I've never preached on that ever. I have never preached on. So you're going to hear a portion of scripture that Pastor Dean's never preached on before. But it's, I know what he's preaching today, and I know it's a good point, and I want us to listen because we're in an intense battle. You know, before you share that, I just want to share, you know, this morning when I was up praying, even though I'm not preaching, I still got up to pray. So just to let you know. Yeah, and I prayed for you. Yes. But, you know, I realize the more and more, you know, I got in a little debate this morning with a liberal who was trying to defend Islam this morning on Facebook. But even before that, I was just like, you know, I realized that a lot of the message that we are trying to get across, that a lot, you know, not a lot, I would say probably a minority of the church world is trying to get across the true gospel, repentance. Last night, Nancy and I, a friend of ours, who was it that sent it? Was it the video, the DVD we watched last night? Becky, our friend Becky Tracy. Now, I can't remember. She in Omaha, Nebraska, sent us this DVD. I get hurt for some reason. I get where she is and Doreen mixed up. I want to put them in the different places. But anyway, she's so sweet. She sent us the DVD the documentary Agenda Part 2. I want to tell you that thing is so good. In fact, we're going to schedule a night where hopefully we can get everybody, and we're going to come up here as a church and we're going to watch this. It's about 87 minutes, but I'm telling you, it is everything we've been talking about on the radio show for the last 2 years with stuff I didn't even know about where we are in the communist takeover and overthrow of the United States and the how close we are to the collapse of the United States and the world government via the UN. And I was blown away. We watched this last night, but I was just thinking to myself this morning praying. I was thinking how much really still the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of repentance, the message of taking up the cross, the message of disciple, becoming a disciple, of living a life that's truly dedicated to Jesus and to, you know, just the whole thing about the end times, Bible prophecy and where we are. And I just realized that even though it is increasing the number of people who are starting to pay attention, starting to wake up, starting to listen, I still realize that the vast majority of even Christians, it's still kind of falling on deaf ears. A lot of Christians and a lot of people in the world still have their hands over their ears going, la, 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 I don't want to hear this. I don't want to accept this. You know, I had to tell the liberal this morning, he's defending Islam, right? And I said, in the last 30 days, there's been somewhere between 140 and 150 terrorist attacks. Over 1,000 people have been killed. Over 3,000 people have been wounded, severely wounded. And it has one thing in common. Muslims. Muslims did every single one of them. And I said, do you want to know why? And he's defending Muslims. I said, do you want to know why? I said, because the Quran instructs them to do it, and they're following the example of Muhammad. And then he spouts off and he tells me, oh, you can't talk to a conservative. All you guys do is repeat what you hear on Fox News. I said, have you ever been to a Muslim country? Or where a country where there's a majority population of Muslims? I said, I have, several times. So twice I almost didn't make it back. I was in Nigeria when the Muslims killed 3,000 people and burned dozens of churches to the ground. I've had to be guarded by armed guards just to get from one church to another. I almost didn't make it back the second time, especially. Don't tell me about Fox News. That kind of idiotic thinking, it's just a Allah. You know, I don't want to hear the truth. How many? But there are Christians like that, many, many Christians. I don't want to hear the truth. I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. I don't want to hear reality. I don't want to hear what's really going on. I want everything to be nice and sweet and la, 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 la. And that's why I'm finding – you know what? I'm finding out there's mega churches that I didn't even know existed, have 18,000 members in them. There's one in North Carolina and found out that the pastor of that church teaches that God sinned. We're in trouble. I'm just telling you. The mega churches are full because – people don't want to hear the truth. It's real simple. Liberals don't want to hear the truth. Christians don't want to hear the truth. Even a lot of conservatives don't want to hear the truth. They just don't want the truth is an inconvenient problem. So anyway, that's my sermon for today. Kevin, it's all yours.
Huh? You gonna use it? It's a good one.
Well, I hope that this message I have this morning is something that will encourage you but challenge you to stand more for the word, stand more for your leaders, for your church leaders. I really didn't want to use the handheld, but there's too much of a hum with the wireless mic for some reason. So I do have a little PowerPoint. I'm going to get to it, but the subject I'm going to talk about today is an armor bearer, being an armor bearer. There's not enough people in this church, in other churches, standing for church leadership, standing in the gap, praying, and seeking God for their leaders. I mean, I know, you know, I've got a book and I've read it once before. It's God's Armor Bearer, Volumes 1 and 2 by Terry Nance. It's a really good book that I encourage everybody to read about being an armor bearer. I started reading that again and just looking back through it after God placed this subject on my heart. And I started realizing that there's some things that I was doing, and I knew God had called me to be an armor bearer for Pastor Dean some time ago. And there's some things that I was doing, but there's other things that I was certainly lacking in. And it's caused me to take a step back and look at what this is all about. And I just want to encourage everybody today to pray for your pastor, pray for your church leaders. I'm trying to get set up. where I can show my PowerPoint. And don't forsake that. I know when pastor's getting attacked, Nancy sends out text to the church and pray for our pastor because he's getting attacked. He's come under this attack and all. And I know some of us pray, but a lot of us don't. A lot of us don't stop and take the time to actively pray for our pastor when he's in need. And I'm going to show you where David became an armor bearer before he became king. And I think for those of us called ministry, that's a crucial step for us in ministry, is to be the armor bearer for our pastor, for our leader. If we ever hope to reach God's potential for our calling, and it's going to be crucial, especially coming in the times to come of where we're headed into this demonic takeover of the world that's coming on us, this just terrible time. But I want to go into what an armor bearer is, and the definition of an armor bearer. It's one who carries the armor or arms of another, an arminger. It says here, armor bearer is the one carrying the armor, one who carried the large shield and perhaps other weapons for a king, commander-in-chief, captain, or champion. All warriors of distinction had such an attendant. Rather than perish by the hand of a woman, Abimelech called upon his armor bearer to give him the finishing stroke, and King Saul did the same. So the armor bearers lived, they fellowshiped, they were really an extension of their captain commander's family. They knew the thoughts, the actions. They knew how to basically anticipate what their leader was going to do or need or want before he had to ask. So if they're in battle, you know, he may be handing him the sword for battle before he even asked for it, that kind of stuff. And that's where we as a church need to be for our church leadership, for our pastor. We need to be able to understand him and be praying for him before we have to get text saying he's under attack. But we should be praying constantly for our pastor every day. And I think that's where, I know I've been lacking, and I think that's where we as a church have definitely been lacking in some of this stuff, is praying for our pastor from time to time is not enough. It's got to be a constant thing. And this is just a illustration of what going into battle, you got your captain and your armor bearer there with him, just to show you that it's, when you're going into battle with someone, you're not just a bystander. You're actively participating. And this church, especially the calling that this church has, is one that is in battle constantly. The message we put out, just like Pastor was talking about, the message we put out is one that people don't want to hear, and they talk against us. They come against us. They curse us, Christians cursing us, non-Christians cursing us, throwing out word curses. I mean, it's constant with this kind of, with the true gospel of Jesus. And when we're not standing as armor bearers for the leadership of our church, it makes it easy for the enemy to attack and get an advantage, really, is what it comes down to, is the enemy is getting an advantage over us in this church because we're not standing and we're not carrying the shield of faith and we're not carrying the sword of the Spirit for our leader. And that's kind of what I want to get into right quick is the armor of God. I know that's probably a little small, but you know, Ephesians 6, therefore put on God's complete armor that you may be able to stand, may be able to resist and stand. This is the Amplified version. I liked it, the way it broke it out real well. Resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Verse 14, stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. And 15, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. I mean, that to me is pretty amazing. That's, we just say put on the shoes, shod in preparation of the gospel of peace. But when you look at it broke down more into the Greek, it's so much more than that. It says, lift up over all the covering shield of faith, saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Now, when we look at the armor of God, we have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, breastplate. That's our job to carry for our leader. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. We're to carry that and have it ready to use for our pastor. And I know I've been lacking in carrying the shield of faith, praying that over our pastor, praying that over the leadership of our local churches even. I mean, we need to take this outside just these walls and pray for the leadership of the churches in our community, the shield of faith and the word of God. We need to be praying that over them. And I know I've been lacking. So that's why, you know, I think God really put this on my heart, is to encourage everybody to stand and move into this area of being an armor bearer. I mean, armor bearer was mentioned 18 times in the Old Testament only. And it was always in reference to going into battle, basically, and being one with their leader. And that's what we need to do. And I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to look at David and what he had to do, how he became the armor bearer for Saul. We're going to start at verse 14. It says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, granted, Saul got off into something he shouldn't have, but we can take the principle of this as to when our pastor is getting attacked, when our leadership is getting attacked, when our church is getting attacked, the evil spirits are trying to come against us. So, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning, who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. We could take that as prayer. You know, we could take the praying of the music and worship. That's our prayers for our leadership. And 17, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that he is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent him by David, his son, unto Saul. And then 20, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. So David became Saul's armor bearer at this point. It says, and Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed him. So as church members, when we get text or word that our leadership is under attack, by that time it's become unbearable. And it's not just information that is being given out as gossip. By the time we receive information from our pastor that he's under attack and that we need to pray, he's already been praying and it's becoming overwhelming. And it's time for us to be the armor bearer that David is for Saul, for our pastor. It's time to stand up and worship and pray and for our leadership. And that's what being an armor bearer is all about. Now, I know everybody's not called to be an armor bearer, but we all can act as an armor bearer, especially in this battle that we're in. You know, there's some of us, some of you may be called to be an armor bearer for other people outside of this church. And then you need to be standing up and praying for them. Just as David was playing the music for Saul to soothe him and the evil spirits would leave, that's what we need to be praying against the attacks of the enemy, for our pastor, for whoever you're called to pray for. This is what we've got to do. And if we're not, we're failing our job. And if we're called to ministry, Patrick, called to be an evangelist, you've been on my heart about that a lot lately. We need to start praying and standing in the gap for our leaders and for our people in our church so that God one day can move us from a place of being an armor bearer to being the leader or to being in our ministry calling. Because it, you know, who's faithful in little things, he'd be given more. Right? That's where this is headed. That's where David, he was already anointed to be king by this time. So he already knew that he was supposed to be king, but he stepped into this place of being an armor bearer for the king before he was king. So it's time for our church to start living out this life that David has right here. You know, we all call to ministry, but are we willing to stand in the gap in front of our leader to pray for, to carry the sword of the Spirit, to the shield of faith for our pastor when he's under extreme attack? You know, in 2 Samuel chapter 20, and this is the scripture that started this whole study, and this is where I feel like our church has been, but also is further into this scripture, it tells us where we're going. And we'll go to verse 8. And this is, it's Sheba's revolt. So they've sent men out after other men and to bring them back and to kill I'll just start at 20, verse 1. And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bishri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse, every man to his tents, O Israel." So basically, they're departing from David. They're leaving David. They don't trust him as king anymore. They're walking away from him. So the king said to Amasa, "Assemble me," in verse 4. Then said the king to Amasa, "Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present." So he gave him 3 days to go get the men to come. And David said to Abishai, "Now shall Sheba, the son of Bishri, do us more harm than in Absalom." Absalom was David's son that rebelled against him and basically kicked him out of the kingdom, and then David got his throne back. "And take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us." In verse 7, "And there went out of him Joab's men, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men of David. They went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bishri." Now verse 8 is the one. "When they were at the great stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them And Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon it, upon his loins, in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, the sword fell out. He lost, dropped the word of God. And I think that's where we as church members have been. We've let the word of God fall out of its sheath onto the ground. You can't do battle for our pastor, for our church leadership, without the word of God, without the sword of the Spirit. You can't do battle without it. You have no offensive weapon at that point. You only have a defensive weapon and your feet to run away. The shield of faith will quench the darts, but if you don't have anything to defend yourself with, you're as good as toast. You're done. I think that's where we've been as a church for our leadership, for our pastor. But it goes on to say, verse 9, and Joab said to Amasa, aren't thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So obviously he picked it back up after it fell out. And I think that's where we're headed as a church. We're starting to pick the sword back up and starting to get ready to do battle again. But what I wanted to bring the attention to is we dropped the sword. And I think that's why our church has been through so much of the difficulty that we've been through recently, especially, is that we're la-di-da, it's church, it's prayer, it's, you know, I don't want to get up this morning and study, I don't want to get up this morning and read the Bible, it's okay, God understands, you know, but when we drop the sword, the word of God, we have nothing to stand on. We have no offensive weapon to use against the enemy. What did Jesus do when Satan took him when he was 40 days in the wilderness? Jesus quoted the word of God to Satan, the word, the sword. Can we do that? Can we quote the word of God in battle, the sword of the Spirit? Can we do that as a church for our pastor? When we get text and information that our pastor's obviously in dire need of our prayer, do we go to the word and quote it in defense of our leader as an armor bearer? That's what we should be able to do. And I think that's where we fail. But the good news is we can pick it back up again and use it. And I think that's what we've got to focus on in the coming days, especially, is focus on picking back up the word of God and using it in this battle that we're going into. You know, Jonathan had an armor bearer, and this is the loyalty of the armor bearer. And this is where we need to be as a church. We don't need to be second guessing our pastor. We don't need to be going, he's doing things not quite the way I want to do them. So I'm just going to, whatever. Look at this. This is 1 Samuel 14, verse 6 and 7. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is nothing to prevent the Lord from saving by many or by few. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your mind. I am with you in whatever you think is best. Do we have that mindset as church for our pastor? Do we have that mindset? That's for you to decide. Here's a list of the duties of the armor bearer. This is 11 items. They came out of this book, and I thought they were very, very fitting. Number one, must provide strength for his leader. How do you do that? Prayer. Must have a deep down respect for his leader, an acceptance for and tolerance of his leader's personality and his ways of doing things. Do we do that? Do we have that? must instinctively understand his leader's thoughts. So are we one in the spirit with our leader? That when he has a thought and says something, we instantly know what he's talking about and are ready to implement that? Must walk in agreement with and submission to his leader. Are we all in agreement with our pastor? Are we willing to walk in submission to him? That's what I'm asking you. Must make the advancement of his leader his most important goal. Now, you know we're not about growing a big church here. We're about the truth. But do we put what our pastor wants and his vision for this church above our own? Do we put his as priority? Must possess endless strength so as to thrust, press, and force his way onward without giving way under harsh treatment. And we all know the words and everybody, how they talk against our church and call our pastor a false prophet and from Satan and all this stuff. Are we willing to stand and press through with him under this treatment of being called cults and a false church and all this stuff? Are we willing to stand and push through in that? Must follow orders immediately and correctly. In battle, if you're asked to pray, that doesn't mean do it when you get home tonight. That means immediately stop and take some time and pray. Does it have to be 30 minutes? No. I mean, 5 or 10 minute prayer of warfare for our leaders when they're in dire need of it is what we're asking. Must be a support to his leader. Do you support it or do you drain it? You know, are you so needy that you drain the lifeblood out of our pastor? Or do you support him with prayer and the things he might need? Must be an excellent communicator. Must be able to communicate with your pastor, with people in leadership, with your church, without being offended. If you get an offense, you need to be able to communicate to it. You need to go to the person that you're offended with and communicate. And granted, our pastor does offend us from time to time, but that's okay. That's what he's supposed to do, is step on our toes. Must have a disposition that will eagerly gain victories for his leader. Are you willing to stand and fight in prayer, in battle, in warfare prayer to gain the victory of the enemy trying to overcome our pastor? And do you do it eagerly? Are you joyful doing it? Do you enjoy taking the time to pray for your pastor in those manners? Must have the ability to minister strength and courage to his leader. Do you lift him up? Do you encourage him with your words, with the things that you're gifted with? Do you build him up or do you tear him down? You know, one of the things, you know, we'll go back to the 20 verse 8 for a second. It says, when the sword fell out, that's the same Hebrew word that God used, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect, talking about God. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? That is the same Hebrew word used for Cain's countenance falling because he knew he had done wrong against God as the sword fell out of the sheath. I mean, wow. If we've dropped our sword and God was wroth with Cain because of his bad offering and his countenance fell. We all know what Cain was about. And we all know that the rebuke from God is what caused his countenance to fall. And the same word used for us dropping the sword of the Spirit. You know, that speaks tremendous to me. I mean, when you're dropping the sword of the Spirit, the two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. For the word that God speaks, this again is the Amplified version. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our hearts. Is this the word that we carry? Is this the word that we're memorizing, that we're able to quote the word of God that does this? I mean, this is for the people that are speaking against us. Do we have the word of God so that we can show them the thoughts of their hearts? Are we standing in the gap for our pastor as those carrying the armor in the battle for him? That's my question. And that's what I hope we can consider, because, you know, some of the teachings and stuff, and it's even some in this book, talk about an office of an armor bearer in a church and all that. You know, I don't know if there's such a thing in the New Testament. But I do know that I've been called to be an armor bearer for my pastor, and I'm going to do a better job of it. And I hope that we as a church can do a better job of it, because that's my prayer. And that's what, when I read that about the sword falling out, it hit me just like a ton of bricks, that we have dropped the word of God. And I want to pick it back up. I'm going to. I don't have a choice. I mean, it's do or die. Because we will be overcome by the enemy if we don't. And we need to pick it up for our pastor and use it against the enemy for him. It's been a burden on my heart. And I hope this will encourage you or put the burden on yours. Because that's what we need to do as a church. I mean, we are a very small church. We've almost all been here since the very beginning, very early on. And we still get beat up. We're going to. But we've got to stand together as a church family and as armor bearers for one another to get through this battle. So take this and let's do a better job individually and corporately, standing up and carrying the word and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, the breastplate. Let's do a better job of carrying what our pastor needs, what our leadership needs, what our church needs as a whole for each other. Without it, you don't make it through battle. So I hope you're encouraged. I hope and pray that I really felt like God really put this on, especially after that. Then I started studying that, and then he moved me into the armor bearer place. And I realized I was falling extremely short. So I hope we all can stand up and do a better job. And maybe I'll get something out of this later on. Take it and study it. Look the scriptures up for yourself. It's important.
Well, I appreciate that. I swear I didn't tell him to preach on that. All right. That is a great book. I read that many years ago. That's a great book for especially any young person coming up that's in the church. And no, I went through it when I was young, that whole struggle of wanting to be a leader, wanting to be in charge, being called to be a leader, but not being quite ready for it when I was young. And that book and the principles of being a servant to others who are in leadership, even if that just means being faithful to pray for them, it's just so vitally important because, there's a principle that Jesus spoke about, you know, and it's in Zechariah, and he quoted it in Mark. But the night that Jesus was taken, when he was arrested and everything else, and the scripture was, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the church world right now that think that there shouldn't be anything, shouldn't be leaders in the church, that we all should just be we're all just the same. And, you know, you just submit to one another. And I look at them and I just go, I don't know what kind of crazy talk that is, because the Bible talks about younger submitting to elders, talks about fivefold ministry, talks about, you know, God set first in the church apostles, secondarily prophets, after that pastors and teachers. And so there is order in the church world, and we're not all called to do the same thing. Thank God. Right. The church would look strange if we were all called to do exactly the same thing, but we're a body. But the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The foot can't say to the ear, I have no need of you. We have different strengths and things, but I appreciate that. I mean, I know that, like I said, I didn't tell Kevin to preach on that. And when I was telling him, asking him to preach, the reason I was mainly saying, hey man, I just need a break. You know, when you do this two or three times a week and you're constantly preparing and praying and, you know, getting up to preach a message, and some of you've done it, at Tres Diaz, you've done it, you know, it's a battle to get through and hear what God wants and then to get up and deliver it to people. And I don't care if it's two people in a Bible study or 200 or 2,000. I've stood in front of a crowd of 20,000. It's the biggest crowd I ever preached to. And I'll tell you, I think it was easier doing the 20,000 than it was doing the two or the 20 or the, you know, it's a battle. It's not always the number of people, but it's just a battle to try to flow in the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit, get your flesh out of the way, fight the demons off, and deliver the message, the teaching, the prophecy, whatever it is, deliver what God wants you to deliver. It is warfare. And I just want to say, we've got to pray for each other, but especially you've got to pray for leaders, and you got to pray for people in authority, because the devil knows if he can cause someone in leadership and a position of authority, if he can cause them to fall or to stumble or to mess up or to just quit, then you have a lot of people, a lot more people that are affected by that. That's why the devil goes after pastors and elders and people that are in churches. I mean, and while the whole time Kevin was sharing that, I was thinking about the story, you know, we have in Acts chapter 12, when, you know, Herod decided he was going to kill the apostle James. And I remember years ago, the Lord revealing to me that it wasn't so much that the devil was using Herod to just get James just because he didn't like James for some reason. The devil was going after that calling and that anointing to destroy it, to stop it, because James was the leader. He was the leader of the apostles even. And so he went after him to kill him, and he did. And then he took Peter, and he was going to kill him. And the church really woke up and goes, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't take our leaders for granted. Maybe the devil is going to take them out. And what they realize is, we better start praying for Peter. And so what did they do? The church kicked in and began praying. And it says they began to pray without ceasing. Obviously, they had not been doing that before. And so Peter's in prison, and what happens? God sends angels, supernaturally delivers Peter from prison, but it wasn't about just Peter. This is what we have to understand. The devil is after the calling, the anointing, the purpose that he has for an individual, and how that individual is going to affect many, many others. Like Peter, an apostolic anointing, an apostolic calling will affect thousands of people, and will affect many to be saved, many to be strengthened, many to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the devil was after that in Peter. He didn't care. I mean, Peter is a human being, just a normal everyday human being, is not any different than anybody else. But when God puts his hand on him and is calling on him and an anointing on him, then it's like, we got to stop that is what we got to stop. So it's not about somebody being better than anybody. We all just need to be washed in the blood of Jesus and have our sins washed away. But what the devil's after is to stop our calling, our anointing, our purpose, the people we're going to influence. And some of us have been given five levels of responsibility, five talents or some two or some one. It's not how much you've been given. It's are you using them? And the devil doesn't care if you've been given five, two or one. He wants to stop your influence. He wants to stop your anointing. He wants to stop your purpose and wants to stop the people that you will reach or edify or strengthen or disciple or lead to Jesus. I mean, he wants to stop all that. So there's a war going on, and that's, you know, really, we just need to step up prayer in our private lives. We've got to step it up. We've got to step up spiritual warfare, praying for each other. I mean, do you pray for everybody in this church every day? Really pray. I'm not talking about Lord bless Cherie, bless Patrick. Those are the prayers children pray at night. That's not what I'm talking about. Really pray. Binding the demons, rebuking the demons. Do you really pray? God anoint them. God help them through this. You know, I mean, here, let me just be honest. I've got a lot of issues going on with my oldest daughter. My sister's going through a real difficult time right now. My brother's trying to get a job and move. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. My dad sold his house. There's a lot of stuff going on that just can be a complete distraction, right? So I need your prayers. Pray for my family, please. They're going through a lot of stuff right now. Amen? And I know you guys are too. I mean, that's why I'm saying we're in a new season of battle like I haven't felt in the spirit and seen in a long, long, long time. I told my brother the other day, we were talking on the phone, and he was with me back in the days of fighting the Satanist and, you know, leading the Satanist to Jesus and having the covens come against us and trying to kill us and all the witchcraft that was coming against us. I said, it feels like the old days, brother, except worse. He goes, I know exactly what you're talking about. He was with me. I mean, this guy saw everything. He saw the demons and the serpents and the wolves and the Satanists come. I mean, we went through quite a bit together. So he's like, yeah, he got to experience that with me. So he knows exactly what I'm talking about. We are in battle. We need to bind the demons, break curses of witchcraft. We need to fight this stuff daily. We need to fast. Oh, we need to fast. Let's all commit to fast something in the month of April here. And I think that'll help push the enemy back and break some things off. I don't care if it's a day, one day, just do it 24 hours sometime during this month, you know, 2 days, 3 days, one day, 1 week, one day, next week. I don't care. Do something different than what you've been doing and really devote that time to prayer. And we'll see some things turn around. We'll see some breakthroughs happen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to do this. We're going to pray over the offering this morning. If you have tithes or offering, you can put it in the basket back there. Don't forget, fellowship after church. We're getting out of here early today. Amen. We're going to go fellowship. You're welcome to come, brother. I hope you can. I don't know if you got to get back down south, or you can, but you're welcome to come. You can just follow one of us over there in a minute. It's not far from here. All right. Well, I'm going to pray over the offering and dismiss us. And then, so let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, for giving us your written word and bringing to life what you want to emphasize. I thank you for Kevin's word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will stir us all to pray for our pastors, our leaders around us, even pastors that are out there that we listen to. Maybe we don't even know them personally, but we know they're on Facebook and YouTube and the internet and whether it be television or radio or whatever, and we know they're true men and women of God. Lord, just move us to really begin to become more dedicated to walking in the Spirit, walking in the armor of God, using the sword of the Spirit, truly praying, truly using our authority to bind and fight demons off in Jesus' name, for one another, for especially for our pastors and our leaders. Let us, Lord, help us all to become better armor bearers for other people around us. It's truly having a servant's heart and a giving heart. It's sacrificing our time to help another person when we will really earnestly pray for them. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I ask you to move on those here, those listening, watching this morning, that I'm sure that many of them have pastors and friends and people they know in leadership in churches that, you know, they're struggling or they're having battles in their family, and they need prayer. They need a lot of extra prayer and fasting and spiritual warfare done for them. So, Lord, I pray that you would just encourage those watching to pray more, fast more, fight more, bind the demons more in the mighty name of Jesus so we can win more battles. And, Lord, today I ask you to bless the tithes and offerings, those that give. Lord, I thank you for those who are faithful to give to this church and to this ministry so that we can do what we need to do. And, Lord, I ask you to bless them. And like I heard a pastor years ago say, Lord, bless them with money or with what money cannot buy, because that's what's important. But, Lord, I know you're faithful to people who are faithful, and I thank you for that. And I thank you we have a faithful church, and we have faithful friends that sow into this ministry from all over. And we thank you for that, Lord. And bless them and put your hedge and your shield about them. And, Lord, we thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you know the drill. Hug some necks before you leave, and get ready for fellowship, football, volleyball, whatever. Amen.
Shaped our hearts and